All right, Fox 2 held a GOP gubernatorial debate last night. John James, Perry Johnson, and Mike Cox all got involved. And Mike Cox joins us this morning to talk about it. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back with you guys.
How did things go for you last night, do you feel?
You know, I wish we could have went maybe an hour and a half or two hours. Most of the debates, you know, there was 10 debates before today, sponsored by the state party. Most of them went an hour and a half to 2 hours, and we got more time to actually talk about policy.
The debate became very, you know, confrontational at times. You and Perry Johnson, you know, going after John James. Was that necessary to draw a contrast, or do you worry voters get tired of political fighting?
Lloyd, it is necessary to draw a contrast. The reality is, like many families, my family, so many families in Michigan been impacted by outsourcing. And he may not like to admit it or not, but John James outsources American jobs. He imported, and we did a press conference. WJR was there. We gave details, bills of lading from a computer website, Import Genius. Import, not export, Import Genius, where we outlined 920 imports of auto parts made here in the Midwest that came from China that John James's family makes money off. They're a $1 billion-a-year company, Lloyd. This is, you know, unfortunately, the media isn't as big as it used to be. So there isn't a whole lot of coverage on the fact that he's been an outsourcer. There's not a whole lot of coverage on a whole lot of things many of the candidates say. And so candidates say things unchecked until they get to the debate. And, you know, at the end of the day, these issues we talked about last night aren't big secrets in the sense that Jocelyn Benson's team knows that he got $2 million from the MEDC and didn't pay it back. Jocelyn Benson's team knows that he goes around, running around attacking data centers. But John James, some of his biggest donors are built data centers, and he owned data center stock. In fact, it's public knowledge when he got tagged for not reporting stock trades, the so-called Nancy Pelosi Act, that a number of the stocks were Alphabet, Google, Amazon, Apple, Nvidia, all those that are trying to build data centers. I wish we could focus more on what I have at my website, MikeCox 2026, the reasons I got into the race, which was the Fix Michigan's education so that kids where I live in Livonia, you can get the education my grandkids are getting in Mississippi and, you know, the ways to fix the economy. But some of that relies on, quite frankly, on media reporters reporting on facts.
I'm with you. I wish there was a little more substance last night as well, and it certainly would have helped if it was a longer format. But you did talk about the special session of the legislature that you would call to eliminate the state income tax. There were education reforms that you'd like to see put in place to improve our school systems here in Michigan, which you just mentioned. How important are those in building Michigan back to where we should be as a top 10 state population-wise, but not in the education system?
You know, you don't solve the population problem until you solve the education and economy problem. You know, where my granddaughters go to school, and just for your listeners, it's called the Mississippi Miracle. Over the past 12 years, they went from 49th in fourth grade reading to 9th in fourth grade reading, while Michigan has fallen from a mediocre 32nd to 48th. And they did that simply, Chris, by requiring every kid learn phonics, requiring that every kid be able to read by the third grade. If a kid struggles, they get the tutor as early as kindergarten, and every school is graded so that every parent, every grandparent, every taxpayer knows how the local school does. And here's the miracle part of it. So it truly isn't a miracle because human beings did it, so that means we can do it. But my severely autistic special ed granddaughter, Savannah, was able to read in the third grade in Mississippi. I never thought it was possible. That's the magic of the Mississippi Miracle, and there's no reason why we can't recreate that here in Michigan. There's no reason why we can't, you know, we've increase education spending. We're almost a top five state spending. We're certainly a bottom five state in performance. I have another proposal, which I'd love to talk about. Hopefully, we can tonight on Wood TV and NBC across the state, which is a requirement that 70% of every school dollar goes in the classroom. That means more dollars for kids directly. That means more dollars for teachers, quite frankly. It means less dollars for administration, which, as you guys probably know, has grown dramatically over the past decade, while student enrollment has fallen off.
Yeah. Mike, the debate also focused heavily on taxes. We talked about that. But, you know, a lot of families are also still struggling with child care and housing and health care and just everyday costs. What would your top priority be to make life more affordable in Michigan if you're elected governor?
Well, Lloyd, thanks for asking that. Because I grew up as the son of a carpenter. My mom was a maid. In the Marines, I had a child and I raised her for most of my 20s. I was a single parent, got a lot of help from my parents. So I had to fight the fights involving childcare and trying to get through school and holding down a job, even despite having veterans benefits. And I know it's a struggle. My brother-in-law, my cousins are still, UAW and skilled trade folks, and it's a struggle. So how do we do that, Lloyd? Well, the one thing I tried to emphasize last night was that, when I was Attorney General and Lloyd, you were covering it.
Yes.
I took on utilities and saved ratepayers billions of dollars. I took on Blue Cross when the legislature and the governor wouldn't, at my political peril, saved seniors $700 million and increased Medigap rates. That's the boring but important day in, day out fights that our state needs a governor to take on and be consistent and show up each and every day.
However this thing shakes out, whether it's you or John or Perry that wins this nomination, do you think that the party will unite behind whoever that is?
Yes. Yes. Look, I mentioned it last night. I found John his first campaign office in my building. My nephew volunteered for him. I've given him money each and every time. So, of course, if in the odd circumstance he were to get elected, I would, of course, support him. I'm a Republican. But here's the reality. Republican ideas, conservative ideas, are not going to prevail unless we pick a winner in the August primary. And John James and Perry Johnson just have not won. Whether it's pre-Apple days or post-Apple days, they just not have won statewide. And I'm the only one who has.
Yeah. Mike Cox, we always appreciate your time. Thank you. We look forward to talk with you again very, very soon. Thank you.
See you, Mike.
Thank you, Chris. You guys take care.
You
as well.
You got it. Look, I think that has to be the message here is that, yes, drawing that contrast that you mentioned, obviously that was the case last night.
Yes.
But we need to get to the substance.
Get to the substance, man. It's a lot of other things that people are dealing with, and they want to hear about what you're going to do if you're their governor.
Speaking of these races, on the Democratic Senate race, Abdul El-Sayed has a chance to win because of his courting of young voters. What does that mean for Michigan? We'll talk to Caitlin Buss next on JR Morning.